This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture with Tina Camellia, Tishao Ig and Juliet Jacobs. Earlier, we were discussing how child car seats will be made compulsory for all private cars by next year.
Yeah, and this discussion has generated quite a lot of conversation on social media. I'd like to read a tweet from Nadra. I was once involved with an accident where we usually hear the impact causes the baby to be thrown out of the windshield or the side window. I was holding my one-month-old baby at that time. The car was a total loss. My husband had a torn eyelid because his head hit the steering wheel. So, you know, I'm very, very sorry to hear that. Oh, she also said, we survived and learned our lesson. You know, you must have a child car seat. The car must have an airbag. The ones who hit our car didn't wear seatbelts and had to be in hospital. So, I think that's a sobering reminder of what we need to remember. Also, some messages on WhatsApp. Car seats should be mandatory. Same principle as seatbelt, short or long distance, it's required.
Yeah.
We have an interesting question here from Bernard. What do parents do when they need to take the taxi or a Grab if the cars don't have a child car seat?
Yeah, so for me, there's a group for working for mothers who stay at home, and they provide services where, you know, you can actually book cars with with car seats for them. But you know, it's very rare. So if you, for example, you want a Grab car or anything, I've not seen them offering car seats for children.
Yeah, so I mean, Grab Malaysia, if you're listening, I think you should consider adding this service.
Definitely.
Because I know it's done in other countries in their ride-hailing services. Also, another WhatsApp message, parents should stop kids sticking their heads out of the sunroof, an open sunroof, while the car is on the road at more than 60 kilometers per hour. In fact, I would say not at all.
Exactly, while the car is moving.
Never. And one more comment, before the car moves, everyone must be buckled up. Thanks for all your comments and keep them coming in at BFM Radio. WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899. You can also call us 7733-2900.
And speaking of cars, shall we?
Yes. So a different kind of racing cars now. Formula One team Ferrari has dropped tobacco giant Philip Morris's branding from its official name for the season opening Grand Prix in Australia amid an investigation by authorities over breach of regulations. The team name has been changed from Scuderia Ferrari Mission Wino to just Scuderia Ferrari. Now, Mission Wino, in case you didn't know, is Philip Morris's scientific research subsidiary. And it was through this company that Philip Morris re-entered F1 just last October. Now, as we know, and we have read about, tobacco advertising, promotion and sponsorship is banned in many international sporting events. But what this Ferrari case shows us is that tobacco companies have ways of getting around
sneaky,
the regulations. Yes.
Yeah, because, I mean, what does the law actually say on tobacco advertising? It's governed by several separate laws and regulations. For one, international sporting organizations set their own rules on tobacco sponsorship. The International Automobile Federation, or the FIA, bans tobacco branding in the F1.
Yeah, individual countries also have their own laws on tobacco promotion in various domains. Some national health authorities ban or impose restrictions on tobacco advertising, sponsorship and promotion. Media regulators also may also have laws on tobacco advertising. So broadcasting the F1 on local TV networks would fall under this legislation. In this case, Australia prohibits nearly all forms of tobacco advertising and promotion in its national and subnational laws. On top of that, 181 countries, including Malaysia, are party to the WHO Framework Convention on Tobacco Control and are legally bound by that treaty's provisions, which include strict measures to reduce the demand for tobacco.
Now, despite all of these laws and regulations, tobacco companies have found a loophole. So they don't explicitly push product branding. They instead promote vague promises and they use other company names which are linked to them anyway. And some names for this have been called like ambush marketing or alibi marketing. They promise things like a better tomorrow. And what is actually linked to is smokeless tobacco products like e-cigarettes, which is something that many of these companies are going into. into now.
Yeah, and Ferrari is not the only team looking to tobacco for sponsorship. McLaren struck a new deal with British American Tobacco for 2019. It is similar to the Ferrari deal, as BAT wants to use McLaren to further an initiative that relates to quote-unquote reduced risk non-tobacco products.
Mm-hmm. And so some historical perspective on tobacco advertising in sports. The FIA announced its ban on tobacco advertising in F1 in late 2006. Before that ban was enforced, tobacco sponsorship had been estimated to bring in more than $350 million a year for the F1. So very, very lucrative.
Yeah, a lot of money there. But I mean, the Olympics actually stopped direct tobacco sponsorship and advertising in 1988, becoming smoke and tobacco free. However, the IOC does not actually prohibit tobacco companies from sponsoring individual athletes, national Olympic committees, or national sports federations. But these restrictions are vague when it comes to tobacco advertising in Olympic broadcast coverage. I mean, in Malaysia, a cigarette brand sponsored broadcasts of the 1996 Atlanta Summer Games. And while the IOC protested to RTM, it stopped short of withdrawing broadcasting rights. And today, tobacco advertising of Olympics broadcasts it's still possible if a country's laws permit it.
Right.
And more on Malaysia, the government banned all forms of direct tobacco advertising in 2003, with selected sports sponsorship exempted. Then in 2006, tobacco sponsorship for all sports events was banned in accordance with the WHO treaty that we spoke about just now. So for example, a cigarette brand had sponsored the FAM since 1987 until the ban came into force in 2006. From 1996, the company had pledged a yearly sponsorship of 30 million ringgit to FAM, which is a lot of money.
Big money there. So those days do seem to be over in Malaysia, but you know, the question is, will we be seeing a return of tobacco branding, albeit through these indirect means now? So we spoke to Associate Professor Dr. Amir Siddiq bin Amir Nordin, consultant psychiatrist from University of Malaya Medical Center. He is also the chief coordinator for the University of Malaya Center for Addiction Sciences and also leads the Nicotine Addiction Research Group. We asked Dr. Amir, what are the laws and regulations in Malaysia governing tobacco advertising, promotion and sponsorship?
Our position is very clear. It is a direct no. We are a member of the FCTC, Framework Convention for Tobacco Control, since 2005. And as part of our commitment to the to this convention is that we would be enforcing all bans on advertising. And therefore, the Malaysian, at least health group and the Malaysian government is committed to actually enforce that as part of our commitment to the FCTC agreement.
In light of this Ferrari news, Dr. Amir also described some of the potential loopholes that tobacco companies could use to advertise their presence.
The potential loopholes that the tobacco companies could use to advertise their presence has been seen overseas, where a number of them have been buying up, for example, electronic cigarette makers. And therefore, because of the FCTC ruling in most countries, which bans direct advertisements on tobacco products, the introduction of these newer products, which some of them have no definitions in some countries, allows certain companies to advertise indirectly about this particular product, which might be linked to the parent company. And I think this is where some of the loopholes can be seen.
Currently, we still do not have a Control of Tobacco Products Act. Our legislation for tobacco control actually comes under the Food Act. Here's Dr. Amir explaining how a standalone act will ensure stronger enforcement of laws prohibiting tobacco advertising and promotion.
So the standalone act that we are waiting for, hopefully to be tabled as soon as you know it can be tabled, is to actually prevent these particular direct and indirect advertisements, because we are hoping that within that act, all the concerns that we've had over the number of years will be brought to fore, and this will allow the overall protection of Malaysians against smoking and other smoking-related issues.
We also asked Dr. Amir what more we need to do to reduce the influence of tobacco companies on the market. Now, he had quite a lot to say on this point.
in order to ensure that we protect the health of Malaysians against smoking and smoking-related issues, we really need to go back to the FCTC and ensure that we enforce every single strategy that's within that particular convention. For example, we need to increase taxations on tobacco products so that we price out younger people who might want to start smoking. We also need to ensure in that same respect that we enforce all borders and other related loopholes to ensure that, you know, the issue of illicit cigarettes is not an issue at all. We need to also, you know, think about the enforcement of these promotions through indirect means, as we've been talking about just now. We have to then expand smoke-free areas. We're doing that really well, and kudos to the Ministry of Health and the Minister, Dr. Zul, for this move. It's been really showing a lot of positive effects. You know, 88% of Malaysians are actually complying to this current regulation and policy. But more so, more than 80% of us wanted them to actually enforce this from quite some time, and to start this on the 1st of January 2019 is a big win for Malaysians. And I think we need to continue to expand these particular type of policies into workplaces, for example, into homes. There's a big movement overseas about, you know, ensuring that homes that have kids are smoke-free. And for example, in New Zealand, it's even as far as smoke-free cars. We also need to ensure that we are helping those who wants to quit. And this is where the MQuit program, which was just launched, you know, 2 days ago, is helpful. www.jomquit.moh.gov.my is the site that you want to visit. And from there, you'll be able to find all the quit smoking services that are available in Malaysia. And again, this helps those who unwantedly or unwittingly got addicted to smoking to hopefully make a change and quit smoking as a result of this policy that, you know, we've actually started. And of course, we need to continue with educating our young and preventing them from actually starting cigarettes, because, you know, the lure of smoking is so strong that once you take even one cigarette, you're more likely to be addicted for life. So we need to ensure that all of this is being put in place. And this hopefully will be enough to help Malaysia reach smoke-free status by 2045. Then we won't need to be too worried about, you know, what the tobacco companies are doing, because, you know, they have a right in a way to be doing what they're doing, but we need to ensure that we actually do equally to ensure that the public is safe.
So that was Associate Professor Dr. Amir Siddiq bin Amir Nordin, consultant psychiatrist from University Malaya Medical Center. Dr. Amir will be in the studio later at 4 p.m. for our monthly psychiatry show. He'll be talking about suicide in the media on that show. But back to this story, we have a WhatsApp message from Daryl, who shares his recollections of cigarette sponsorship of football in the 80s. He says cigarette companies used to sponsor the World Cup broadcast since 1982. He still has the special cigarette tin. I think 1986 was the start for big Ciggy branding for World Cup. All the TV presenters wore yellowish gold jackets, apparently the Rahim Razali classic look. I'm not sure what that is. Not old enough. But, you know, yellowish gold, we know that's branding for a certain cigarette product, don't we? Well, anyway, we've been discussing the ban on tobacco advertising and sponsorship and sponsoring in sporting events. So if you'd like to weigh in, you can tweet us at BFM Radio, WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899, or call us at 03-7733-2900.
Meanwhile, here's All the Little Lights by Passenger, and after that, a possible HIV cure. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.